Darling, Lincoln sing-songed as he skated by. I flipped him off and then banged him into the boards when play resumed, harder than necessary, just for good measure. As soon as I got back to the bench, I ordered the same Cobras employee who had helped me in the past, Dan, to take a new jersey to Blake, and instruct her to put it on, or I was going to stop play and embarrass her in front of the whole arena. Dan's eyes were wide, and he looked a little scared of me as he scurried off to do my bidding. I kept my gaze locked on Blake as he went up to her with the new jersey, not looking away until she put it on. Damn fucking right. I got back on the ice, gritting my teeth. We were tied 1-1 with the clock ticking down. I may have loved my old team, but I didn't want to fucking lose to them tonight. "We got this, Disney," I barked at Walker as he stopped yet another of Lincoln's shots. Lincoln had only scored once tonight, which was a testament to how fucking good Walker was. Lincoln and I battled along the boards, vying for control of the puck. Our sticks clashed, the sound echoing around us. With a surge of adrenaline, I managed to gain the upper hand, my body leveraging against Lincoln's to send the puck skidding toward the other side of the rink. "Have to do better than that, Daniels," I called to him. The puck sailed through the air, a blur against the icy backdrop, and there, waiting, was Tommy. Tommy stopped the puck and didn't miss a beat, swiftly taking control and racing towards the goal. Cass Peters tried to stop him, but he wasn't me. Tommy's shot was swift and true. Dalton, caught off guard, made a desperate dive, but it was a futile effort. The puck found its mark, slipping past his outstretched glove and into the net with a satisfying thud, right as the buzzer sounded. Dallas was stunned as we dogpiled Tommy for the game-winning score. 9 out of 10 times we would lose to them, but not tonight. Not fucking tonight. A few minutes later, Lincoln gave me a hug and I was high-fiving my old teammates, feeling like I was on top of the world. I'd played my brains out. Cass Peters had sucked, and everything in me said I'd be back here with Blake next year. Life was fucking good.
Blake. The Dallas Club pulsed with life, vibrant lights and music that enveloped us as soon as we stepped inside. The air was thick with anticipation and the unmistakable energy of a Saturday night out in the city. It had been a whirlwind of emotions at the game, but now it was time to celebrate with Lincoln, Monroe, and of course, Ari. Ari's hand was warm against mine as he led me through the crowd, our fingers laced together, the feel of him possessive and reassuring. The music reverberated in my chest, setting a rhythm that matched the pounding of my heart. He leaned in close, his lips brushing against my ear as he shouted over the music.
"Ready to have some fun, sunshine?"
"Absolutely," I replied, getting overwhelmed with how freaking gorgeous he looked, his dark hair falling into his face. The club was a sensory overload. Neon lights, swirling patterns, and the intoxicating scent of perfumes and colognes mingling in the air. The DJ held court at the center of it all, his booth a shrine to the pulsating beats controlling everyone on the floor. The crowd gyrated and swayed to the music, a sea of bodies lost in the rhythm. We were on the dance floor hours later, and Ari's gaze was intense, his green eyes locked onto mine as if nothing else in the world mattered. I was molded against him, and somehow I wasn't close enough. The thumping bass reverberated through our bodies, a heartbeat that echoed our own. Ari's hands were everywhere, trailing along the curves of my body, igniting sparks of desire that flared with each touch. The music had shifted as the hours passed, transitioning to a slower, sultrier melody. Ari pulled me closer, our bodies pressed together as we swayed in time to the sensual rhythm. I moaned as his knee rubbed against my clit through the leather leggings I had on.
"Is my baby feeling needy?"
He purred, starlight dancing in his green gaze. "Yes," I whispered as he pressed his leg against my aching core once more. Ari looked around the club as his hands continued to torture me with sensual strokes.
"Let's fix that,"
Ari finally said as he grabbed my hand and pulled me towards the edge of the dance floor, leading me down a dark hallway. He pressed me against the wall, his hand fisted in my hair as his body curled around me. My entire body relaxed, melting into him.
"I'll always take care of you, baby. You only have to ask."
He moved a hand down my leather pants, covering my core. I wasn't wearing underwear because they would have given me bad lines, and judging by the growl he gave me, he clearly liked that I didn't have any panties on. He gently massaged my clit, and my hips thrust forward. "Yeah, sorry. Please." I whimpered. He chuckled darkly, and his fingers slipped inside me as his mouth closed over mine. Ari's hot tongue slid into my mouth, tasting me in aggressive, deep, long licks that sparked along my veins. I sucked on his tongue as his finger found that perfect spot, fucking in and out of me. My hips were moving in time with his hand, but it wasn't enough. I needed more. My fist tightened in his hair as I pulled him closer, my body driving frantically against him, small pleas falling from my mouth.
"Do you need more, sweetheart? Do you need my big dick to get you there?"
He cajoled. "Yes, please." I begged, whimpering as he pulled his finger from my core, bringing them up to my mouth and sliding them between my lips so I could taste myself. He pulled his fingers out and his tongue was in my mouth again, chasing the taste.
"Fuck, sunshine. I'll never get enough. You taste so fucking good."
He pulled my leggings down to my knees so I was bare to him, and two fingers plunged back inside me, his thumb caressing my clit. I glanced down the hallway. We were just feet away from the crowded dance floor. Anyone could turn the corner and see us at any second.
"You just gushed on my fingers. What are you thinking about, sunshine?"
I blushed and he chuckled knowingly.
"You like that anyone could see us? That anyone could walk by and see me fucking your perfect wet cunt? Does my girl like to be watched?"
I squirmed and his grin turned wicked.
"Let's see if that greedy pussy's ready for me."
He shocked me by falling to his knees, his hands pulling apart my folds as his tongue feverishly pushed into my core, and he ate me like a man possessed. It only took me seconds to come, my whole body shaking, the orgasm so intense tears gathered in my eyes.
"Good girl,"
he muttered as he stood up and his mouth returned to mine, the taste of me once again filling my senses. He hiked me up against the wall and pushed my pants lower before he undid his zipper so his gigantic, pierced cock was free. The head was gleaming with white, milky precum, and I licked my lips, unsure of whether I wanted it in my mouth or in my aching cunt. He wasted no time pushing through my wet folds until he was sheathed inside me, my pussy squeezing and stretching to accommodate him. His fingers dipped between us, rubbing my clit so I relaxed and adjusted to his size. Ari slowly withdrew before he slammed back into me, forcing a harsh cry to escape my lips. He buried his face in my neck, his body shuddering.
"You're perfect, baby. Taking all of my big cock. What a good girl."
He fucked in and out of me, the ridges of his piercing stimulating every nerve as he slid it in and out. Ari's hand slid through my hair, gripping my head and forcing me to watch him as his pace picked up.
"I love you, sunshine. You're mine."
He growled as he stared into my eyes. Loud cries were falling from my mouth as he lost control, pounding into me. I was sure someone down the hallway could hear me. I fell over the edge, my core clenching and sucking him in.
"Fucking choking on my cock,"
he groaned. Abruptly, he pulled out and pushed me to my knees. Ari gripped my jaw and forced my mouth open before sliding his dick between my lips and pushing down my throat. "Yes, this is what I wanted." One arm went to the wall above me as his other hand gripped my hair, holding me in place while he feverishly fucked my mouth.
"I'm gonna come."
He groaned as his entire body trembled, and then his hot cum was filling up my mouth. I gulped it down, but there was too much. It spilled from my lips, getting all over my chin. He surged in one last time, going so deep, tears fell down my cheeks. His thumb gently flicked them away as he stared down at me in awe.
"Fuck. I don't know how it gets better every time,"
he muttered, almost to himself. Ari pulled out and tucked himself back in as I pulled myself off the ground.
"I love this,"
he said as he massaged his cum into my skin, licking at my lips and face aggressively. Definitely getting a taste of himself.
"I want you wearing my cum. I want it all over your skin. Fuck."
He groaned as if he were in pain. I'd had a few drinks and that sounded wonderful. but I was also cognizant enough that I didn't want to go back out onto the dance floor with dried white stuff all over my face. He was a little growly as he followed me into the employee bathroom a little further down the hallway and watched me wipe off my face.
As soon as we get back into the house, I'm going to cover you with it again.
He promised, and I winked at him, all for it.
Fuck this,
he said, and all of a sudden I was picked up and thrown over his shoulder. Ari stomped out of the bathroom and down the hall, returning to the crowded dance floor. People were staring at us as he marched around the edges. Lincoln and Monroe were at the bar, watching us, amused, as Ari held up a peace sign to them and headed towards the door without a word. The night air greeted us, and before I knew it, a car had pulled up to the curb, and we were getting in the back. Ari rattled off the address before his lips attacked mine. I didn't get a lot of air for the whole ride back to his place. And just like he promised, as soon as we stepped into the house, he did indeed go about covering me with his cum, and I loved it. Chapter 20. Blake. A few days after the game, one of the gossip magazines released an article about Ari's homecoming, and most of it was about me. Ari Lancaster's new obsession: love, scandal, and secrets. In recent weeks, the spotlight has been firmly fixed on the budding romance between Cobra star defenseman Ari Lancaster and the enigmatic beauty Blake Shepfield. Their whirlwind relationship has captured the attention of fans and gossip enthusiasts alike. But it seems that behind their passionate love affair, there may be more than meets the eye. Blake, a stunning and talented model with Elevate Models, has become a fixture at Ari's side both on and off the ice. Her striking beauty and confident demeanor have led many to wonder about the mysterious woman who has captured the heart of the hockey sensation. However, as rumors swirl, so does speculation about her past, including a scandalous family history. Miss Shepfield's life has been marked by personal tragedy. In a story that seems right out of a dark drama, police records revealed her father murdered her mother after an illicit affair was discovered. The sordid past of her family raises questions about the baggage she might be carrying into her new relationship. Does Ari Lancaster know about this? It's the question of the hour. But what's perhaps even more shocking is the gossip that Miss Shepfield might have walked in her mother's footsteps. Sources whisper that she maintained a boyfriend back in her hometown while becoming romantically involved with Lancaster. If these rumors are to be believed, it could spell trouble for their seemingly blissful union. While Blake has been spotted at Ari's side at various events and games, insiders claim that Ari might be unaware of her alleged infidelity. The phrase, "Once a cheater, always a cheater," has been making its rounds, leaving fans and critics alike speculating about the longevity of their relationship. As their relationship continues to unfold before our eyes, only time will tell whether Ari Lancaster and Blake's love story will defy the odds or succumb to the rumors that threaten to unravel their newfound romance. In the world of celebrity and sports, one thing is for certain: the drama never ceases, and the truth may be harder to uncover than a puck in a crowded rink. I stared at my computer screen, my heart literally aching in my chest. Why had I decided to Google my name right before work? There was no way the press wasn't going to find out about Clark, especially as Ari's fame grew. But how had they found out about my parents? The Shepfields had paid tons of money to get rid of my past. I wiped away some tears and hurried to get to work. Everything was fine. Just because it was written didn't make it real. But I also found myself in the bathroom, forcing myself to throw up before I left, because bad habits were hard to get rid of. A few hours later, I was at work, balancing a tray laden with dishes as I moved between the crowded tables of the restaurant, my eyes darting from one customer to the next. It was a chaotic evening, the kind that kept me on my toes and, thankfully, gave me little time to dwell on anything else. Another hour and I'd be off and back with Ari. I groaned to myself because I sounded like a lovesick, besotted fool. Those thoughts were also terrifying, though, because the deeper I got into this, the more I had to lose. "You have a new table," Marnie, one of the hostesses, told me as she passed by. My coworkers have been giving me speculating glances all shift, especially her. Sighing, I looked over and froze, my blood seeming to thicken in my veins. The perfectly coiffed hair, the eyes filled with disdain as she stared around the restaurant like it had personally offended her. Mara. Months of progress unraveled just staring at her in person. I hadn't even been looking at the text she'd been sending lately because I knew they'd just be full of condescending, hurtful comments about how I'd fucked up my life. Evidently, she had decided to bring the messages to me personally. I tried to summon every ounce of professionalism in me since I knew she wouldn't hesitate to complain and try and get me fired if I reacted. But my hands trembled as I placed the menu in front of her. Mara's eyes bore into mine, and there was a cruel glint in her gaze. "Well, well," she said with a condescending smirk. "If it isn't my daughter, the failure." She glanced around the room. "This is quite the fall from grace, isn't it?" That wasn't a question. She sneered, her cold eyes studying me. I fought to keep my composure, but her words cut deep. "Mara," I managed to say, a slight shake in my voice. "What can I get you to drink tonight?" She laughed a cruel, mocking sound. "All right, I'll play along. A martini, extra dry, if this place can even make one." "Of course," I murmured as I turned away, because only Mara Shepfield would say that in what was obviously a 5-star restaurant. I clenched my jaw, struggling to maintain my professionalism. Walking to the bar, I stiffly gave my order. Pete, one of the bartenders, gave me a quizzical look, obviously confused about my zombie routine. He handed me the drink.
"You okay?"
"Yeah, fine," I whispered, taking a deep breath as I walked back to Mara's table. "Here you go." I set the drink on the table, trying to ignore the knowing, amused look on her face. "You know, Blake, we'd always hoped you didn't have the same genes as your worthless parents. We discussed it for days before we adopted you, the chance you might end up like this. Have you decided what you want to eat?" I spit, trying to stop her vitriol. But she wasn't going to stop until she said all she wanted. "Look at you. You gave up a world of privilege for this? Slaving away like a servant. Your modeling career in ruins. Your order, please." I choked out, because fuck, I did not want to cry in front of her. She smiled, getting pleasure in attempting my demise. "A steak, medium rare. Surely they can't mess that up." I nodded and hustled away, except instead of going to input her order, I made a detour to the back exit, pushing through the doors with a hitched sob. I stood outside in the cool night air, leaning against the rough brick of the building, tears streaming down my face. No matter how much progress I made, it never was enough. She was always going to be able to strip me bare. Always. I felt utterly worthless, as though every effort I'd made to prove myself had been in vain. Since they adopted me, all I'd ever wanted was for Mara to love me, to accept me for who I was. But no matter what I did, it was never enough. The scars of my tumultuous upbringing, the years spent striving for her approval, were still fresh in my mind. I had hoped that by breaking away from Mara and the toxic life she represented, I could finally find a sense of self-worth and belonging. I'd been delusional, obviously. I wiped the tears away and walked back inside, feeling that old, familiar sensation that I was a stranger in my own skin, that it was stretched too tight across my bones and any second now it would rip and show everyone around just how ugly I was inside. It wasn't just Mara, it was the article too, out there for the whole world to see. How soon until Ari thought that way too? How soon until I fucked all this up? Cheater. Whore. Maybe that's all I really was. I stared around the restaurant. I was a failure, wasn't I? Doing this because I wasn't good enough at my real job. "Look at her posture. Her backside is too big. She looks too basic." Comments I'd received on failed jobs assaulted my brain. After I inputted her order, I helped my other tables, well aware of her gaze tracking me around the restaurant as I worked. Unfortunately, her steak finished quickly, and I had to bring it to her table. She sniffed at the slab of expertly cooked meat like it was dog food and then sat back in her chair. "What's most disappointing, though, Blake, is that you aren't just worthless like your parents, but you're a cheater too, just like your mother. Cheating on Clark was the biggest mistake you've ever made. No true daughter of mine could be so stupid." Each word felt like a dagger to my heart, hitting on all the insecurities about the situation with Clark that Ari had tried to stitch up. I felt the walls closing in around me, My heart pounded erratically in my chest, and my breaths grew shallow and quick. Panic was setting in, and there was no escape. The clamor of the restaurant faded into the background as I struggled to maintain my composure. Each breath felt like a battle, and I clung desperately to the edge of reason. My hands trembled as I tried to discreetly wipe away the tears that welled up in my eyes. I felt a tightening in my chest, a heavy weight that threatened to crush me. The noise of the restaurant came back as a deafening roar in my ears, and I forced myself to stay on my feet.
What the hell is going on here?
Ari's voice cut through the noise. I turned towards the sound of it like it was a lifeline. He was standing there like some kind of superhero, his fists clenched at his side, his face a mask of fury. Every muscle in his body was tense, like he was having to work hard to hold himself back from lunging at Mara. Mara's smile faltered, and for the first time, she seemed taken aback. "And who might you be?" she sneered.
"Ari Lancaster,"
he said, his voice firm.
"Blake's boyfriend. And I'd advise you to be very careful about anything you say next."
Mara laughed, a bitter sound that sent chills cascading everywhere. She glanced at me. "A hockey player, Blake? Really?" She shook her head. "That's who you betrayed Clark for?" Anger flashed through me. She could talk about me all she wanted, but she couldn't talk about him. Not ever. He was everything. She glanced back to Ari. "Do you even know how messed up she is?" He scoffed like she told a bad joke.
"Shut the fuck up."
You have no idea who she really is, do you?" Mara mused. "You don't know about the medication or the panic attacks or her eating disorder?" I froze, my heart feeling like it was being squeezed. Heat crept up my neck. Humiliation was streaking through me. It felt like I might melt into the floor. All my secrets were out there, laid bare for Ari to see. I couldn't even look at him. He was never going to think of me the same after this. He was perfect. He wouldn't be able to stand me. She just ruined my one chance for happiness. Tears welled up in my vision.
"I usually don't hit women, but I'll make an exception for you if you aren't out of here in the next 5 seconds.
Ari hissed, and a flash of fear actually rippled across Mara's face. Mara's eyes narrowed, and she regarded Ari with a cold detachment. "Very well," she said with a dismissive wave of her hand. "But remember, you have no idea what you've gotten yourself into." The air was thick with her satisfaction as she picked up her purse and slid gracefully out of her seat. "Tell the manager I was so disgusted with the service here that I didn't eat a bite," Mara said haughtily as she strode towards the exit without paying. I wanted to collapse to the ground, but I didn't want to give her that satisfaction if she happened to look back. So I just stood there, my whole body shaking, and I watched her leave.
"Come on, sunshine,"
Ari murmured hoarsely.
"Let's get you out of here."
He led me to the back entrance, and I was well aware of all the eyes watching us. I was also most likely going to be fired because of Mara's dine and dash and the fact that I was leaving before my shift was over. I just couldn't find it in myself to care. Ari led me down the alley in the back of the restaurant and then down the side street to where his car was parked. I was numb as he opened my door, buckled my seatbelt, and then rushed over to the other side. He started to drive, and I was aware of his worried gaze boring into me, but I ignored it, staring out my window steadfastly.
"Blake."
He finally started, but I held up my hand, shaking my head. "Can we just not talk? At least not right now," I whispered. He sighed, but he didn't say anything more, and the rest of the ride passed in silence. "I need to use the restroom," I murmured when we got to the house, not bothering to get a response before I all but ran into the bathroom. Once I had the door closed and locked, I rummaged through my bag of toiletries searching for my razor. I grabbed it and stared at it, self-loathing surging through me. I hadn't let myself do this in weeks, but now it felt necessary. Like I wouldn't survive if I didn't release the pain. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Just like her mother. Failure. Whore. Modeling career in ruins. I leaned against the wall and pulled down the waist of my pants, my thumb brushing over the scars on my thigh. Tears were streaming down my cheeks. My hands were shaking. I pressed down the blade and the door burst open and Ari was there, his eyes wide and face scrunched up with worry. I froze in place, the razor blade sitting on my skin as we stared at each other. He walked towards me and stopped a few inches away. Without taking his eyes off me, he slowly slipped off his shirt, throwing it to the ground afterwards.
"Hurt me, sunshine,"
he murmured, grabbing my hand that was still holding the razor blade and pulling it up to his chest.
"Every time you feel pain, hurt me instead. Let me take it from you."
My hand was shaking as he pressed the blade against his chest until a bead of blood pebbled on his golden skin. I stared at it in shock and shame because I'd felt the slight edge of relief like I'd embedded it into my own skin.
"Carve your name. Carve your pain. I don't care what you do, but hurt me instead,"
he whispered as he dragged the blade across his chest. I stared at it, still in shock over what was happening, and I realized that he'd carved out a bee. He was literally carving my pain into his skin. He was carving me. I pulled against his hand and he let it go. The razor blade tumbled to the tile floor, the clatter of it echoing around the room. My legs failed me and I dropped, caught in Ari's strong arms before I could hit the ground.
"Sweetheart,"
he murmured as I sobbed into his chest. His cut was bleeding, dripping down his beautiful skin and staining my shirt. And I felt so much pain. "Why did you do that?" I sobbed. "Why would you make me hurt you like that?"
"Baby,"
he groaned, his voice anguished. Ari scooped me into his arms and carried me into the bedroom, somehow kneeing his way across the bed until he was able to sit against it with me cradled against his chest.
"Tell me where it hurts,"
he whispered gently, an echo of the words he'd said weeks ago. And like then, my answer was still the same. Only he knew about the demons that made me a villain this time. "I'm tired of Mara Sheffield being right about the fact that I'm a pathetic excuse for a human. I'm tired of being the villain in my own story. I am tired." His fingers danced across my cheek and I nuzzled into him. "When are you gonna be tired of all the baggage I carry around and want to leave because I'm the burden you never signed up for, Ari Lancaster?" His fingers caught my jaw in his strong grip.
"Never. The answer is never. Your pain is not a baggage to endure, baby. It's an honor for me to help you shoulder it. Give it to me. Tell me where it hurts. Let me take it away."
His gaze never left mine, and the intensity in his eyes was like a lifeline, and I was suddenly desperate. I tried to kill myself once. It was Clark who found me, took me to the hospital. I whispered, and I still broke his heart. Guilt flooded my veins, so much streaming in from my fucked up brain that it felt like I would drown. Hiccup sobs burst from my chest. "Knowing that, Ari Lancaster, why are you trying so hard to save me?"
"Sunshine, you haven't realized. You're saving me right back. I gave you my soul all those years ago, and I've just been existing ever since, waiting for you to come back to me. You aren't some girl, and I'm not some boy. We're soulmates, twin halves of the same fucking soul."
His hand brushed against mine as he wiped away the tears clinging to my cheeks. "I wish you didn't have to save me," I finally whispered, and he shook his head.
"I'm just helping you save yourself. You'll see. One day, you'll wake up, and this pain inside you, it won't be there anymore. You'll be free, and you won't even be able to remember how bad it hurt."
He pressed the most heartbreaking kiss across my lips, and he smiled.
"I promise."
The thing about a promise from Ari Lancaster, I learned, was that he kept them. Ari carefully undressed me like I was a present he wanted to unwrap. He made love to me for hours until I fell asleep, whispering love and praise until that ever-existing pain, it seemed like it didn't hurt quite so bad. 2 days later, when I woke up, Ari showed off a brand new tattoo of my name he'd inked where I'd cut his skin. I asked him why, and he just laughed. And somehow, Ari Lancaster, he did the impossible. He took my pain.
Chapter 21, Ari. The afternoon was like a persistent itch in a hard-to-reach spot. Annoying as hell. While Blake was at a photo shoot, I'd found myself trapped in what felt like an endless practice session with the team. Two consecutive losses had us desperately needing to step up our game. But the idea of her being away, outside my protective bubble, was driving me insane. During our water breaks, I checked my tracking app like a man possessed, making sure she was still at the shoot. I had a bodyguard following her around, but she hadn't responded to my last couple of texts. I was not happy. It was on one such break when Soto leaned over, interrupting a conversation I was trying to have with Walker about our favorite Jurassic Park movies.
"Hey, Ari, had an interesting conversation about you today."
He was trying too hard to sound innocent, and ice slid around my veins.
"Oh, yeah?"
I answered, matching his casual tone.
"Who with?"
A smile slid across Soto's ugly face.
"Just some rando. He was hanging out before practice, asking questions about you. Seemed like a nice guy."
Suppressing the urge to stab him with my hockey stick, I ground my teeth and took a deep breath, attempting to regain a modicum of control. "What kind of things exactly was he asking?" Soto raised an eyebrow.
"Oh, just wanting to know when you started dating your girlfriend, what your schedule was like. Nothing big."
"And you answered those kinds of questions?" asked Walker incredulously, looking less like a Disney prince and more like a Disney villain at the moment as he stared angrily at him. Total circle of trust material, that guy. Soto shrugged, acting like it really was no big deal. "What did he look like?" I asked, an uneasy feeling gnawing at the pit of my stomach.
"You know, it's funny, Lancaster," Soto drawled. "But he looked a lot like you."
With that pronouncement, he skated away, effectively ensuring I couldn't focus on practice anymore. When I checked my app during the next break, my worst fears were confirmed. The tracking app had been disabled.
Blake. The final click of the camera signaled the end of the shoot. It was my third in the last 2 weeks. I had indeed gotten fired from the restaurant for leaving without a word during my shift, but it had been perfect timing since there was no way I could have made my shifts anyway with these jobs. Evidently, the Renage creative director had been spreading the word that the upcoming campaign was the best she'd ever done, and it was all because of me. It was actually all because of my chemistry with Ari. That was how I'd achieved the look she loved so much. Regardless, though, her recommendations were bringing me tons of jobs, and we'd be celebrating and unveiling the Renage campaign tomorrow at a release party. Ari and I were perfect. He'd been coming with me to my shoots when he didn't have practice, and he'd even been dragged into a couple more of them. I was getting addicted to changing room sex, which was unfortunate because today he had practice. I also liked reuniting sex, though, as well as every other kind of sex I had with Ari, so I guess it was a win-win situation for me. My life had taken on a dreamlike quality after that night I bared all my secrets. I actually felt like his love was physically healing me, and I loved him so much it hurt. I still had so far to go, obviously. A lifetime of trauma and bad coping mechanisms wasn't going to disappear overnight. But I could feel myself changing. It gave me hope that he'd been right, that someday, maybe it wouldn't hurt so bad. I thanked the crew and walked toward my dressing room, checking my phone as I stepped inside and closed the door behind me. I glanced up to locate my bag and yelped when I found myself face to face with a very unexpected visitor, Clark. "What are you doing here?" I spit, my heart battering against my ribcage. His hurried and disheveled appearance was a stark contrast to the confident, successful man I'd dated for so many years. And for the first time since I'd known him, I was a little afraid. "Clark?" I asked, my voice calm but tinged with uncertainty. His bloodshot eyes were watching me, and I was getting anxious.
"Blake,"
he began, his voice hoarse and filled with a weariness that hadn't been there before.
"I had to see you."
Instinctively, I took a step back, my hand resting on the edge of the makeup table for support. "Why now, Clark?" I asked, curiosity and caution lacing my tone. "I haven't heard from you really since I moved. I broke up with you."
"No, you didn't break up with me. We never talked."
Clark looked at me with a pleading expression, his eyes searching mine for some sign of understanding. He reached out to grab my hand, and I pulled away.
"Blake, you have to listen to me. Nothing that's happened has been real."
I scoffed. "What are you talking about, Clark? You were talking to me, and then you weren't, and I gulped and took a deep breath, because it was much harder to say something like this in person rather than over text. "I met someone. I finally finished." His eyes closed and he took a deep breath, his fist clenching and unclenching.
"I know you met someone, Blake. You met a fucking psycho someone."
I frowned. Psycho seemed a little strong of a word.
"Ari Lancaster is the reason we aren't together."
I nodded, confused. I mean, yes, he was the person I'd met.
"No, sweetheart. Ari Lancaster has been stalking you. He saw you, made a plan, and methodically went through with it to push us apart, Blake. He's been behind the scenes pulling the fucking strings this entire time, just so he can control you."
I snorted and shook my head. "Clark, that's enough. If you want to talk, we can talk, but you don't have to make up things."
"He saw you on a billboard. He found out who you were, and he fucking requested a trade and stalked you to California."
"Where did you hear that from?" I demanded, shock slithering through me. I felt frozen in place.
"You know as well as I do that money makes people talk. I found out who his PI was, and he was totally eager to give me info for the right amount."
Unease was churning around inside of me, sloshing around like spoiled milk. "Okay, this is ridiculous. We're done here," I finally said stiffly.
"He was the one who planted drugs in my car, who got me on the fucking no-fly list. He made a spectacle of your relationship so it would be all over the press. He emailed me pictures of the two of you from a burner account."
"The no-fly list? Clark was insane. Do you have any proof of this, or are you just throwing things out now and hoping they catch?" Clark ran his fingers through his disheveled hair, his agitation evident.
"I know it sounds insane, Blake, but he's the reason I couldn't talk to you. I sent you a million messages, called you a million times. Tell me, did you ever get these?"
he asked, pulling out his phone. He scrolled through message after message, him begging and pleading with me to answer him and to stop ignoring his calls. My head was spinning, trying to understand what had happened.
"Can you take out your phone?"
he asked quietly, staring at me with a look of pity, which I hated. With shaking hands, I pulled it out, typing in the password that Ari had asked me to add for security.
"Go to my contact."
Clark pressed, watching my hands as I navigated to the contact list. Finding Clark's name, I tapped on it, fully expecting to find nothing. But he was blocked, and I knew I hadn't done that. Maybe I accidentally... I started, confusion washing over me.
"If you check Facebook, you'll see that I'm blocked on there too,"
he said gently. I couldn't help but check, desperate for it not to be true, because I could have accidentally blocked him in my contacts, but not on every other app as well. But it was true. Clark had been blocked on Facebook, Instagram, every other fucking app on my phone. This didn't make everything else true, but they probably were. Thinking back, I'd started not to hear from Clark after that first time Ari had come in, when I'd somehow lost my phone, and it had been given to the hostess to return to me. And the Halloween party. I should have been way more fucking suspicious. The drugs found in Clark's car. I'd known he didn't do drugs, but it was so easy for me to accept everything. I sank into a chair, feeling like the world was collapsing in on me. The problem was, everything that Clark had said could be true, but because I was so fucked up, I still wanted Ari Lancaster with everything in me. I can't believe this is happening, I admitted, my voice trembling. Clark knelt in front of me, his voice soft and reassuring.
I understand, Blake. It's a lot to take in. But I promise you, I never stopped loving you. I never gave up on us. Now that I've gotten you back, we can start over. I'll move here, or you can move back home. We can fix us.
I stared at his handsome face, years of memories whirling around in my head. He was a good man, but that wasn't enough for me. Not anymore. I'm sorry, Clark. I whispered, my eyes locking with his. It's over. He flinched like I slapped him.
Don't say that, Blake. I love you. I've loved you since the second I saw you.
Tears streamed down his face, his vulnerability laid bare before me. Old habits were hard to kill, and I wanted to wrap my arms around him to make him feel better. I think I had loved him once, but not in the way he deserved to be loved. Not in the way I deserve to love someone. I hope you can forgive me someday, I murmured. It was a selfish thought, but it would be hard for me to live knowing he was out there hating the memory of me for the rest of our lives.
Please, don't let him do this to us.
I yanked my gaze away from him because it hurt to look at him. It's just not enough. I responded, even though I knew that wouldn't make sense to him. His face grew determined.
I would love you in any way that you needed.
I think you would try, I said gently. But that wouldn't be fair to either of us. He stumbled to his feet, swaying like he'd been stabbed in the heart.
I will find a way to get you back, to prove what we have is enough. I will never give up on us.
Clark stalked out to the door, slamming it behind him. I sat in the aching silence he'd left for a long, long time. And then I went home, a compulsion I couldn't resist. It was dark in the house, so dark I was sure he wasn't home. And I jumped when the living room light clicked on and there he was, sitting on the couch, relief in his gaze, beautiful as always, and a liar. It's all true, isn't it? I whispered as we locked eyes. He stared at me warily, exhaustion marring his perfect features. I watched as the wariness faded into resolution.
Yes, and I'd do it all again.
He swore.
I'd do anything to keep you.
I nodded, a sick thrill rushing through me that didn't make sense. I'd do anything to keep you. No one had ever seen every part of me and vowed to never let me go. I'll sleep in the guest room, I told him, feeling like it was the right thing to do, even though every sick part of me wanted to climb up into his lap and have him wrap his arms around me. He nodded, his green eyes glittering unfathomably. I wandered down the hall to one of the guest rooms, closing the door behind me and leaning my forehead on the cold wood. Did I know him? Could I ever trust him? What else had he done? After a minute, I stumbled to the bed and collapsed on it, an ache in my bones and in my fucking soul. I woke up in bed with Ari, his whole body wrapped around me, his head buried in my neck. It wasn't surprising. If he was willing to move states to get me, a little old door wasn't going to hold him back. I listened to his steady, rhythmic breathing and wondered how I was going to say goodbye.
Chapter 22, Ari. I lay in the dark room, my gaze fixated on her still form. Her presence was both a comfort and a torment. I'd let her go into the guest room, knowing I wouldn't be able to stop myself from bringing her back to our room in the dead of night. Now that I'd had so many nights with her wrapped in my arms, I couldn't sleep without her. She was hurt, and it was my fault. But I wouldn't change a damn thing. As I traced the contours of her face with my gaze, I could feel the restlessness within her. She wanted to run, to escape this thing between us. But I wouldn't allow it. She had come back last night, whether driven by her own conflicted desires or the cruel pull of fate. It didn't matter. Her return had saved me from hours of hunting her down. I shifted closer, my hand grazing the curve of her hip. I knew she felt it, that golden thread that bound us together, even in the face of everything. The intensity of my desire for her was all-consuming, a delirium that threatened to destroy us both. She belonged to me, whether she fully comprehended it or not. The truth may have fractured the delicate illusion of our love, but it hadn't extinguished the fire that burned between us. I leaned closer, my lips brushing against the curve of her neck, claiming her as my own in that stolen moment. The darkness of our desires enveloped us, a heady cocktail of passion and pain. And I knew that there was no turning back. She was mine, and I would do whatever it took to make her understand that, including making things a bit more permanent. I grabbed my phone with my free hand and texted Link. Me. Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair. Lincoln. If that's a line you use on girls, it needs some work.
You shut your mouth. My lines are perfect, golden boy. 10 out of 10.
Lincoln. Oh, yeah. How's it going with Blake? Me. Dot, dot, dot. Lincoln. That's what I thought.
Well, I mean, it's going great.
She just doesn't know it yet. I somehow understand that perfectly.
I'll send you pics of the wedding.
What? You're getting married?
Yeah.
But again, she doesn't know it yet. Lincoln. Dot, dot, dot. Me. Dot, dot, dot. With a plan in place, I pulled her closer to me and quickly fell into a blissful sleep.
Blake. The day had crawled by like an eternity, and Ari had stayed practically glued to my side. He tried to talk to me several times about everything, but I couldn't do it. Not yet. Maybe not ever. I kept opening my mouth to tell him we needed to take a break or something, but every time I did, I couldn't get the words out. Because the thought of not being with him, even for a few days, my heart couldn't handle it. Now we were in the back of a sleek limo that Renaj had sent for us, driving to the release party, the silence between us thicker than ever. The tension in the air was palpable, and I could sense his frustration. He'd been his charming self today, if clingier, but I kept telling myself this wasn't healthy. I couldn't just let it go, right? As the city lights blurred past us, I was dreading the night ahead. The party was meant to be a celebration of my first big break into the modeling world. And now, all I wanted was to drown my sorrows in alcohol and forget about the mess that had become my life. I glanced at him. He looked like a dark god tonight, dressed in an all-black suit that could possibly impregnate you just by glancing at him. But his features were etched with a mixture of longing and resignation. The anguish in his eyes mirrored my own, and for a moment, I wondered if we were both doomed to this unending cycle of pain. The car pulled up to the grand entrance of the club where the party was being held, music and laughter spilling out into the night. It was a stark contrast to the turmoil within me, a reminder that life went on even when everything felt broken.
Blake, please don't let what's going on ruin your night. Please try and have fun.
He pleaded as his hand stroked my cheek. It was a habit that I leaned into it, taking comfort from his touch, just for a second. I let him brush a kiss against my lips, and I felt the soft touch all the way to my fucking soul. The door opened, and I was jarred back to reality, to remembering all that had happened. Ari had that way about him, the ability to make me forget myself. I guess that's why I missed all the signs about what he was doing. I was caught in his spell. The bad part was, I was wishing I was still in it. We stepped out of the car and made our way inside, Ari's hand burning into my lower back. I immediately asked for a drink the second we got to the bar, and he nodded approvingly. He told me to enjoy myself after all, and maybe I was going to. Why shouldn't I drink tonight? I never allowed myself to truly let go. With the Sheffields, it was never allowed. On my own, I'd never felt safe enough to do so. But tonight? Tonight, I wanted to. I took shot after shot with the crew, feeling like a fun person for once. A free person. And it was freedom, to let my inhibitions flow out of me with the alcohol and atmosphere. To stop worrying about how I looked or what I'd done wrong. Just for one night, I could forget all the bullshit and shut up my own inner demons. I loved it. It was like my problems didn't exist. I danced next to Ari, hands combing through my hair, hips swaying, basking in the fact that the alcohol shoved away all my turmoil over what Ari had done, how our relationship had started. Right now, I didn't care about any of that, and I didn't want to care. I just wanted us. My head tipped back against his shoulder and fanned my heated face, and he looked down at me as his hands held my waist.
You okay, sunshine?
I'm great, I said, slurring slightly. Ever better.
Do you want to slow down?
I shook my head. Nope. I didn't. I wanted to keep everything flowing. The alcohol, the freedom, the fun. He stared at me, a strange expression on his face, like he was debating something, but he didn't try to stop me. A trio of models who had been in some past famous Renage campaigns came over, surrounding me. They were big names, people I'd have had trouble talking to if I was sober because I was so intimidated. But not now. Not tonight. Tonight, they were my new best friends. Time for another round, Rachel Crenshaw said as she passed me a shot. Your shoot was fucking amazing, she said, clinking her glass of mine. Cheers! I glanced at the pictures decorating the walls. They were fucking amazing. Ari and I looked like pure sex in all of them, like we were seconds away from ripping each other's clothes off. The tension and chemistry were physically tangible, even through the lens of a camera. Longing raced through my heart. The way he was looking at me in those photos, he looked at me like that every fucking day. And I was so scared to lose it. Blake, drink! Rachel sing-songed, bringing me back to the present. Deciding I definitely needed more if I was going to drown out my thoughts, I tipped the shot back, laughing as heat slid through my veins, warming me up all over. It felt so fucking good. I turned and wrapped my arms around Ari's heated body, pressing my cheek against his chest, because he felt better.
What was that, sunshine?
Whoops, I must have said that out loud. I glanced up at him, and he was slightly doubled, the lights behind him making his dark suit light up, casting shadows against his face. I don't want us to break. I confessed, my tongue loosened from every drink, my feet unsteady. His hold on my ass was the only thing keeping me upright, keeping me from falling.
I won't let us break.
There was no doubt in his voice, only perfect confidence, and the drunk me was desperate to believe him. But you... God, it was hard to talk, because of the drinks, because of everything. You tricked me, blocked him.
I think we've discussed this before, baby. You didn't belong with him. He was the one stepping where he wasn't supposed to. He was the intruder.
His grip tightened on my ass, and I started to feel very needy.
It was always going to be us.
I hummed my agreement, because I'd thought that when I met him too, that he was my everything. You know, I thought I was gonna marry you when we met. I slurred. Something was nagging in the back of my head that I shouldn't be saying this, but I pushed it away. Because Ari was my safe place. Even when I was mad, hurt, upset, he was still somehow my safe place. He was where I felt most free. That was weird. Maybe something for sober Blink to think of. Later. Much later.
You were saying, sunshine.
He murmured, his fingers tangling in my hair as he forced me to look at him. I wanted to lick him.
Thanks.
He chuckled.
You're welcome to, just as long as I get to lick you back.
Whoops, I said that out loud too. Oh, I exclaimed, remembering what I'd been saying. I totally thought I was going to marry you. I was 10 years old and I was fucking done. Mrs. Lancaster, that was me. I giggled. I had it all planned. A white dress, pretty flowers, and you were going to love me forever and ever. I buried my face in his chest and rubbed against his silky shirt. Things are so much easier when you're a kid. I sighed. You can believe in forever and ever. His hands rubbed down my back, soothing my feverish skin. A waiter passed by with more drinks and I lurched towards him because they were neon green. I loved green, like Ari's eyes. These remind me of your eyes. Green, green, green. My favorite. I told him as his lips danced down my neck. That felt good. really good. Ari always made me feel good. Except when he hurt me. I frowned. Please don't hurt me. I told him, a small part of me knowing I sounded pathetic.
I'm going to take care of everything, baby. Make us both feel better.
He assured me.
You trust me, right?
I nodded. I can't stop.
Good girl. Now come with me.
I took his hand because, drunk Blake, she would follow him anywhere. The party was winding down, though, but I didn't want it to end, because I didn't want us to end. Ari could sense it, so when we stepped outside into the cool night air, he held me close.
What do you want to do, sunshine?
I want to keep having fun. With you. Forever. And I did want forever. The alternative was goodbyes and grief. He smiled triumphant.
I want that too.
I had champagne and a limo. Ari just watched me, still not partaking, though his eyes kept drinking me in. I was blissfully drunk, while he was just drunk on me. Then the fun and freedom went to an all-time high. Really, really high, as in airplanes and clouds. It's so pretty. I sighed as I looked out the window at the glittering lights below.
You're prettier.
I turned and smiled dreamily at him. The seat was comfortable. His hand on my thigh was bliss. We stumbled through neon-lit streets, my heels clicking on a sidewalk that felt alive, alive with the pulsating beat of the bright light city. Ari's arm was wrapped around me, not letting me fall, because he was always protecting me. The rush of adrenaline and alcohol in my veins as we stumbled into a building that seemed to appear out of thin air. There were couples everywhere. A lot of white. So much white, which was weird, because I was in white too. A small chapel adorned with glittering lights, and Elvis was there, serenading us with a voice that could melt steel. Ari said,
I do.
And he was so happy. A ring slipped on my finger, and he was even happier.
Forever, sunshine.
We kissed, lips meeting in a collision of passion and pure happiness. The cheers and applause of strangers mingled with our laughter, as if the universe itself had joined in our celebration. My memories were nothing but fragmented flashes, like a puzzle missing most of its pieces. But I was with Ari, so I was safe. So safe. Forever safe. It was a cruel and merciless awakening. My head throbbed like a relentless jackhammer, and my stomach churned with queasiness that threatened to consume me. It was the kind of hangover that felt like the universe's twisted way of punishing me for every questionable decision I'd ever made. As I gingerly peeled open one eye, the harsh light streaming in through the curtains assaulted my senses like 1,000 fiery daggers. My surroundings blurred and spun as I tried to piece together the events of the previous night. I was pretty sure I was in Ari's house, in his bed. How exactly had we ended up here? And why did my body feel like it'd been put through a blender? With a groan that came from the depths of my tortured soul, I